You killed him. You killed him. Giuse, aspetta, my mother called as I fled the kitchen in tears, accusing her and my father of murder on the holiest Catholic day of the year. Easter Sunday had started with such promise. That morning the house had been filled with the smell of frittata, a sausage, egg, and cheese casserole that left rose-colored oil slicks on your plate. I mopped them up with upano di Pasqua, the Calabrian Easter bread made from two hard-boiled eggs baked into a figure-eight-shaped dough that was flavored with anise. As the flavors were blending, I had awaited the arrival of my favorite relative, Kumara Amandina. The mere mention of my grandmother's name could halt card games between my father and his expat circle. She had earned the most glorious title any Calabrian woman could hope for, Fimanella, Little Woman. She who cooks, cleans, bears children, nurses grudges, would sooner self-flagellate than commit adultery, and doesn't put on too much weight with the passing of years. As opposed to the non-Fimanelle, large women who roamed Little Italy like mastodons in black dresses. The gift of beauty didn't end with Amandina. She had three girls, and the youngest, Giuliana, had earned that other honor reserved for the Calabrian female elite. She looked German. My people revered those few fair-haired creatures with blue eyes and light skin, women with none of the facial hair that afflicted so many of my darker relations. I was one of these black-haired and brown-eyed creatures myself, but I too had something that set me apart. Something suspiciously Medagan that seeped out of my adventure books and striped rugby shirts. Giuliana and I seemed destined for each other from childhood. Had we met 10 years earlier and thousands of miles away in a southern Italian village, we would have been the occasion for an exchange of livestock and toast to healthy male children. As it was, she and I just stammered around each other, too paralyzed by old-world expectations to have anything close to a normal conversation. Amandina arrived, and with a living, breathing present, my very own Easter rabbit. All during childhood, I burned with envy as I watched other children care for their pet cats, hamsters, even parrots and lizards. Though our yard teemed with winged and hoofed animals of all kinds, our house was off-limits to the non-human. I casa zuna per gente e gli animali per mangiare. Houses are for people and animals are for eating, my parents would say. Anything with four legs was banished from the house, especially dogs, the animals I yearned for more than any other. I often saw my parents carrying a decapitated chicken or a bucket filled with crows shot from a downstairs window. Pasquale and Yolanda Luzzi were hardly the ideal stewards for man's best friend. The one dog we had, Sam, was kept in an escape-proof doghouse sealed with wire mesh. Sam was no fool. He ran away a few months after arriving. Maybe he saw my father wailing away on our poor goat, as was his habit, and realized he would be much better off with a real American family. I took the rabbit in my arms. Circumstances had kept me from becoming an animal person. But this guy, with his white fur and gentle eyes, a present from my favorite relative to boot, was different. Just like Kumara Amandina, who was much more delicate than the bruiser Calabrian matrons who poured into our home on Sundays. I would cherish him, I swore to myself. I'd make sure that the creature enjoyed a different fate from Sam's. My mother and father smiled, Amandina gushed, and the bunny went back in his box. That afternoon, I imagined that the rabbit was resting while I played outside. In truth, he was about to face an ordeal that would have shocked even battle-scarred Sam. Apparently, my mother and father weren't just admiring the rabbit's dreamy eyes. They were sizing up his haunches. I don't know what it took. My mother's usual two brisk whacks with a stick to the back of the skull, or my father's preferred twist of the neck in his thick fingers. But by 5 p.m., my pet had become an entree. I came into the kitchen to find him splayed out, his glycerin blue eyes lifeless and coated in oil, over a bed of roasted potatoes. It took my mom an hour to calm me as she explained that she and my father hadn't tricked me. They had planned it all along and just assumed that I knew what was coming. She spoke with a smile. That was the worst of it. To her, destroying my pet was no different from weeding the garden. I followed my mother to the kitchen table, slunk back into my abandoned seat, and, tears spilling onto my napkin, ate my pet rabbit.